Thank you for introduction, and thank you for inviting me. I thank the organizers for inviting me to this conference, and a wonderful place. And here I talk about quantum spin ice, and from the region, the sun, that is located around the suburb of Tokyo. And these are some of the some partial list of the published papers, and also some preprints. And these are my, I thank you all the collaborators, previous postdoc in our group, and Leon Balint, and Sanbin Li, who are all the audience here, and Angel Kao from National Taiwan University, and all these experimental people working on HBM titanium. And this is my outline for my talk. And first, I'd like to introduce briefly spin ice and the emergent mount monopoles. And I introduce some quantum effects on monopoles, which induces a U1 spin liquid. And I also think about talk about some indication of quantum spin ice in real materials. And try to derive some microscopic model for these materials, and then try to construct a gauge theory or perform the some calculations, and try to apply to its to HBM titanate, also praseodymium pico materials. And okay. So probably all of the audience people here know well about spin ice and monopoles in spin ice. So basically, starting from the background materials, so we can construct a dual theory. So we map the spin models to sometimes called a dumbbell model for the on the dual diamond matrix sites. So here, basically, the, we have a frustrated instructions for the eigenspins on nearest neighbors. And then we have three dual structures, and those have the lowest energy. And then we can we should have the three dual, all three dual configurations over the whole crystal at the ground state. That is the lowest energy state of the system. But of course, there are microscopic degeneracy, but they allow excitations, which creates a monopole charge here, a magnetic charge here, and plus or minus, or some other two plus or two minus states. In other words, a three-on-one state or a one-on-one state, something like that. So then there are materials which can be well described with these kind of spin ice physics. And then Montreal calculation on a real material, realistic models, perfectly fit the real observations. And also we can describe the metamagnetic transition in observing experiments by Sakakibara et al. In 2003. And so liquid gas transition of the magnetic charges or monopole charges. And the one of the most interesting feature in spin ice system is the dipole spin correlations, which has been derived by those people in 2004 and for the O-N hydrophobic antifer magnet on the pico lattice. So basically, they perform the one-on-one expansion, and then they deduce the dipole spin correlation from the model. And then the interesting picture is that there is a so-called pinch point singularity, so where there is a ridge in the spin correlations along in the HHL length. And then here the spin correlation length is almost really short, but along these directions it's really diverging toward the ground state. So this is actually a manifestation of divergence free condition of the spin spins. So that is a spin ice rule. So and the experimental observation of such kind of pinch point singularity have also been done by those people. So then I want to lead you to the from glass structure to quantum spin materials systems. So if you construct the classical spins, then we will remember that we need a large amplitude of harmonic dipole moments, and which actually ensures that the dipole interaction is pretty large, and which is which assures that the nearest neighbor interaction is ferromagnetic, in spite of the superchange interaction like this term. And the second thing is that the spins obey the supposed to obey the classical statistics, but not the quantum. And here is the superchain introduction in the most ad hoc form. But here, actually, since the J is not, J does not have a rotational symmetry, or some SU2 invariants or O3 invariants, so then that it should have a large anisotropy. So this kind of interaction is actually a too oversimplified form of the interaction in real materials. So we need to think about more. And also we can have some candidate materials with a smaller amplitude of the magnetic moments. So probably coming from the terbium systems, praseodymium or ytterbium, and so on. And so then we can have a spin flipping interaction which induces the quantum mechanics. And so this is some brief slide for the classical to quantum Coulomb phase physics. So the classical case, Coulomb physics, namely the case with the spin ice, can have some deconfined spin-ons, that is a monopole charge. The psi dagger psi is the bosonic spin-ons, which creates an inherent monopole charges. So then we can have a fictitious electric field, which is a divergence of the monopole charge here. So then we can have a divergence free condition for the electric field. So then we should have the Coulomb propagator for the spin correlations. And then that is the source of the Coulomb physics here, classical Coulomb physics here. There's no quantum dynamics. And then in the quantum case, we should have some hopping of the monopolar spin-ons, so which should be coupled to the gate field A. And this A should be introduced as follows. So the spins can be described with similarly at the electric field like this. But since we have a planar component, so plus minus components, so then it should actually, as I explain later, annihilate a great spin on or monopole charges in diamond lattice sites, so which actually hop the monopole charge from one side to the other on the diamond lattice site. So then it should be coupled, also be coupled to the gate field here, okay? And we should obey the computational relation this like this. So then we should have a fictitious magnetic field as well as an electric field, and both have the related to each other with this conjugate canonical the computational relations.
So then the tension is the
electric field
is psi dagger
psi,
it's not
psi dagger
psi, it's really
psi dagger psi. I mean, I already have a psi dagger psi. What do you mean by smaller than psi?
Actually, it's a spin on field, the section operator, and so psi dagger psi.
This is local, I mean, kind of density of the monopole charge.
Okay.
So,
density.
Right.
So,
you
have the equation that
says
electric field is
unit
of
non-density.
So, I can go back to.
While you're moving the slides, could you mind moving over?
Oh, sorry.
I thought I was understanding because I couldn't see the thing, but.
So, so this is, you know, this is a kind of a coarse grain, picture of the spins. So one can consider that the divergence of the spins, spin density. So then here we don't have a spin density at all here at the center of the tetrahedron, but here we have. So that means that if we can define in a closing grain picture the divergence of the spins, spin densities, then one can construct the monopole charge here as a result of the kind of Gauss law. So that's what I mean. So the monopole creation annihilation operator is actually defined on the diamond-lattice site. So we can define the density here. So that's what I mean.
Can you go to that slide that you're just talking about?
Yeah. So I omit all the subscripts special indices, but
the divergence of E is the spin on density.
Yeah. So what's that equation?
So this is, you know, this is the Z component of the electric field is actually the spin. And the spin is probably actually here should be equal to B. So SD is defined as the divergence of the spinons, the monopole charge density. So that's what I mean. SZ equal, electric field, legitimate electric field, and divergence of the SZ is spin on density, monopole charge density. Sorry about that.
So let me understand the last equation.
This one?
Yeah, so the computation electric field is conjugate.
Yes. So basically this electric field is SZ, Z component spins, and this A is actually a kind of a phase in a rotor representation of the planar computer spins.
That should be here. Three. That should be here. It should be E.
Okay, so then sometimes ago, some years ago, Hamilton, Fisher Balance, all these authors here, and developed a nice interesting theory on the U1 spin decay on the background lattice. And so they introduced this with quantum mechanical spin flipping interactions with the U1 symmetry. And then performed starting from the degenerate spin at ground state, and then performed the third order perturbation, degenerate perturbation theory on about this weak quantum mechanical interaction coupling. So then, depending on the sign of the coupling constants, the path flux or zero flux states of things. So, emerging gate fields. And so then, since we are assuming that this coupling is quite small, so then the matter fields, the spinons should be gapped, and the deconfined bosonic spinons. And so then we can consider the system is a U1 spin liquid with some introduction of the weak quantum mechanical couplings. So, but to consider the real materials, the model is oversimplified. So we need to think about more. So, and another interesting feature for the U1 spin liquid is a fictitious emerging fictitious quantum mechanical dynamics in 3+1 dimensions. So this is a Hamiltonian for after neglecting the gapped bosonic spin channels. So then this is coming from the constraint on the pseudo one half spins for the real original models, and that's after the kind of electric field. And this is the magnitude term from the emergent gas fields. So then they can host linearly dispersive gapless photon excitations. So this is a really real example for the gapless spin leakage from the which do not rely on the spin on film surface. So then, I put the title quantum spin ice, but then what is quantum spin ice? So originally we confined spin-ons which carry the monopole charge, and in the case of the classical spin ice. So to satisfy these conditions, we should have a fluctuating near neighboring ice interactions, as in the case of the classical spin ice, and. We also should have a gapped spin-ons. And the spin-on excitations should not be gapless. And as in the case of the classical case. And also, if you consider the weak perturbation due to the quantum mechanical spin flipping interactions, so actually reach a lot of spin-on hopping and spin-on interactions, as I talk later. And then you can consider some other interesting varieties of the materials. And for instance, in the case of helium titanate, which can either host a U1 spin liquid or undergo the transition, Higgs transition to a Coulomb liquid, from Coulomb liquid to a ferromagnet, as really observing experiments. And also in the case of the praseodymium and zirconate, it seems that it could be actually end up with a U1 spin liquid, ground state. And of course, there are many other materials in a rare earth particle magnets. And also, of course, not all the materials do not fall into the quantum spin ice in this definition. Yeah, because sometimes near spin ice interactions are not frustrating, and sometimes quantum mechanical spin flip interactions are too large in sort of deconfinement. So those could be some of the materials which don't fall into this class. So consider on these cases. So I guess there are many materials, but I just pick up this praseodymium and ytterbium case. And for the praseodymium case, actually I worked, I began working with Satoru Nakatsuchi on a praseodymium iridate, and which shows interesting phase, intermediate phase at a very low temperature around 1 Kelvin, which is even much below the quantum effect temperature without in this material, that is 20 Kelvin or 30 Kelvin. So it seems that different physics is going on in this material in this temperature range. So here we observe a spontaneous anomalous Hall effect without a magnetic field. And usually it should be accompanied with magnetizations, which since it is required to break the time layers of symmetry. But it seems that the magnetization is almost vanishing, and although the Hall conductivity is finite here. So that's kind of indication of the chiral spin leakage. And actually, this material praseodymium moments are coupled to the conduction electrons of iridium. So probably iridium conduction electrons provide some probe to broken time layer symmetry of the praseodymium moments. But the crystal is not established, so it's an unresolved issue. But to consider is actually it is interesting to notice that there's a 111 anisotropy, which is close to the magnetization curve is actually close to the observation in spin ice. So we should have a 111 magnetic moment, icing moment, and then actually they are interacting with fluctuating interactions. And then we can suppose that starting from the Spinner's manifold, then we can also consider the chiral submanifold out of the Spinner's manifold. And then some quantum mechanical injection can actually pick up some superposition of the classical chiral submanifolds. And then it may contribute to the chiral sub-negative state.
What do you mean by classical? I wasn't sure.
We are just describing the whole spin system with the spin one-half variables. So then we can construct some wave functions in the classical picture. Just snapshot or in or out. Right. So then we can make a superposition, quantum mechanical superposition of those states within a chiral submanifold. So there is of course one explanation, possible explanation, but there's no theory beyond that. Probably it's too complicated. But then we need to start with an interesting case. But actually, there are some other interesting materials by substituting iridium with a stannic tin. So then actually, it shows a quantum spin fluctuations in a really large energy range, which is not observed in the classical spins. So it's definitely there should be a quantum spin fluctuations.
And
this is insulating, and yes, and this is metallic. Okay, so there's one metallic compound with iridium, and two insulating compounds, carbon and zirconium. And actually, if you look at the lower temperature behavior around 1 Kelvin, so then all these materials have a common magnetic properties, susceptibility and specific heat. It shows a peak around 1 or 1.5 Kelvin, and the broad peak feature is also common in those materials. And there are no magnetic bulk peaks in all these compounds. And okay, so that is one entity. And then iridium titanate is also another interesting material. And basically, actually, it was being worked early days by I forgot the name, but in 60s. And actually, it absorbed dropped it. So he absorbed a sharp, not really sharp, but even the mostly sharp peaking, a specific heat at around 0.21 Kelvin. And actually, some of the experiments show that the local iridium moment can be described with nearly a z equal to 1/2 doublet. And then later on, the most powerful spectroscopy experiment showed that the evolution of the spin gap, although it's not really a strict spin gap, but it seems that there's a evolution of the spin gap below that transient temperature. But the nature of the transition has not been well established, and it's controversial. And it seems that there's some sample dependence, but some experiments show that from the Japanese group actually show that there is a addition of the black peak intensity around the 111 point. That is a black peak point, original black peak point. This is a contribution from the nuclear peak, and then but there is a additional magnetic black peak here below that temperature. And it seems that it is nearly the neutron profiles can be created with the 100 field magnet. But some other experiments later on, often later on, actually had a different conclusion that that is a spin liquid. So this is a high feed neutron scattering experiment, and fitting with a spin wave analysis by Ross et al. And collaborated with Jim Balance and Lizzie Savory here. And they constructed some, they actually succeeded in extracting the material exchange coupling parameters. And it seems to work quite well. But I just mentioned that there are some other different estimations from this Mr. Jinger's group. And okay, so then I need to consider more about the realistic models for the praseodymium or ytterbium pyrochlore magnets. So basically, I just started from the ground doublet in a local crystal field excitations. So in both cases, ground state has well separated from the excited state or the local excited state or crystal field excitations. And so then, starting from this doublet, I performed the strong coupling perturbation expansions to derive the Anderson superchange. And the one from one side of the real side to oxygen side at the central digital signal, and then to the nearest neighbor real side. So the basically the steps are similar. And if you're interested, please look at those papers. So the results are the, we ended up with a little bit complicated Hamiltonian. But the actually the first time is we know what you know from the spin ice. And this is a spin flipping interactions with a U1 symmetry. And there are some other two coupling constants contributing the highly anisotropic interactions. For instance, this breaks the U1 symmetry and this breaks the kind of Z2 symmetry. But flipping the Z component of spin.
So this is a Venus neighbor Hamiltonian.
Yes.
So just on symmetry grounds, Ferrer asked about the most tangential Venus neighbor Hamiltonian.
Yes, of course.
All the terms.
Mm-hmm.
So what does the microscopic calculation give you beyond the symmetry?
Yeah. I don't have. I mean the. We have a serious answer, but I mean, we can suppose that for the S electron systems, those real moments are well localized. So not as in heavy helium systems. So it's well separated from the, for instance, the electrons, and also the, even from the oxygen P electrons. So we can start from the local picture. So then if you, of course, we can consider the father neighbor exchange coupling, but then the, it should decay really fast. Possibly, exchange path.
The microscopic calculation enables you to estimate some
Yeah, that's right. But I'm not so, I mean, interested in the, those kind of, quantitative picture. I mean, actually, the, I can ask some other colleagues or people who work in the first principles, but actually, the treatment of the real magnetic moments are quite subtle. And so I don't think that there's a, obviously it's possible to make an estimation, but I don't think it's not
so that. You could just run this down on symmetry grounds.
Of course, this this is a the minimal model. I mean, the generic model as far as the symmetry is concerned for the nearest neighbors, but. I mean, we did the calculation of the coupling constants, for instance, as a function of the kind of hopping parameters. So actually, there is two hopping parameters depending on the bond nature of the F electron and P electron. So then we did the calculations for that coupling constant, those coupling constants as a function of the ratio of these two threaded constant parameters. But this is only for the nearest neighbor. So we didn't include the father neighbor exchange coupling constants. So, but maybe some other people can do that. It's really complicated. So, and yeah, I will go back to the point. But from the experiment, it seems that it's enough to include those nearest neighbors. and then probably Monic Dipole instruction, and to reproduce the main feature, you know, without in a neutral spin experiment. So, okay, so now, I mean, I just, I mean, restrict ourselves to the hot cross neighbor, I mean, nearest neighbor exchange topics. Okay, so then we go to the this theory on the dual diamond lattice. And basically, the main ingredients have been developed in the paper published in early days by Hamel Fischer Balance and also Lucy Sauri and Balance. And we actually rewrite the spins as explained previously as directed electric field like this, and also we can write down the planar components with using the annihilation and creation operator of the monopole charge or gauge charge, phi lava and phi, and coupled to the gauge field, compact gauge field, A, and which satisfy the computation relation like this. And of course, since a monopole creation annihilation operator is okay, so if we define the Q as the divergence C, that is density of the monopole or number of the monopole charge at the diamond left side, so then we have computation relations like this, which ensure that the phi is really annihilation creation operators of the monopole charge. So then using this mapping, we construct we also map the Hamiltonian to in a dual diamond lattice site. So then we perform the mean field calculations for both the gauge fields and also the spinons. Since we have inductance spinons with this anisotropic interactions. And so we really consider the several cases with the depending on the order parameters. So for instance, we can consider the order parameter SZ, with a Z with a spin, and also the planar components of the spin, and the expectation value of the spinon field, bosonic spinons, that is the condensation of the spinons. And we can also consider the pair condensates of the spinons, and also particle hole condensates of the spinons. So depending on these order parameters, we can have different phases. U1 spin liquid or Z2 spin liquid, that is a charge to Higgs phase. And U1 spin liquid with a coexistence with XY order. And classical XY order systems, and that is a confined Higgs phase. So there's basically the phase diagram, which has been obtained by something Lee here. And so there is a U1 spin liquid. Okay, so this is a phase diagram of function of the U1 spin liquid, U1 symmetric interaction. And here the vertical axis is the U1 breaking interaction. So then, in the case of the frustrated couplings on this side, so when the C1 symmetric interaction is frustrated, so then there's much more larger room for the U1 spin liquid. For the unfrustrated coupling constant for the U1 symmetric coupling, actually the region for the U1 quantum spin liquid is a little bit become narrow, and but still it's finite. Occupies a finite portion of the phase diagram, and then eventually they undergoes a weakly fast Higgs transition to an anti-fermionic magnet, extra magnet, and or the Fermionic extra magnet. Okay, so in the case of the Brazilian materials, actually there is a, this is a example for the non-gamma stabless for the Brazilian case. So then we can interpret this Planck complaint as a quadrupole moment. So in this case, we have a quadrupole long range order state and or ferromagnetic or ferroic or antiferroic. So, and that should be that could be also checked by the verified by the experiments by for example applied pressures and so on. Okay, thank you. And actually this is the calculation for the equal time spin correlations to be observed in the neutron scattering experiments. And that actually shows a remnant of the pinch point singularity, which was clearly a sharper singularity of the dipole spin ice, in the dipole spin ice. But here we have some only a remnant of that.
So yeah. It's clearly an experiment.
This is my calculations. This is calculations using the 1 over n expansion. And so probably the Brazilian, oh, this is for the, actually we use exchange parameters for the Brazilian disagreement, so that could be one interesting possible candidate to the U1 spin liquid. But, I mean, of course, the experiments are always complicated, so I don't know, I mean, that we solve, yeah, we solve.
Zirconian, I think that the chain parameters are known, some
other experiment. Yeah, not yet, not yet. I just took us, I just showed, I just showed this calculation, so, which I obtained from the strong coupling perturbation theory. Assuming that some value of the theta cluster parameters and the U and so on. So then we can have some nice estimates, rough estimates. So it's not really a material specific one, but just I did some estimation, rough estimation. But actually we changed the parameters, exchange parameters, but the results do not seem to change a lot, so it's actually the insensitive to the choice of the parameters as far as the exchange parameters are located in this region. So that means that I don't know what's going on in the experiment, but could be one possible interpretation.
Cindy, you have data on the specific heat for this zirconium material. Almost beating.
Yes. Yes.
Can you explain more about that?
No, I didn't try, but maybe some other people can do that. Yeah, no, yeah, I didn't do that.
So to give the energy scale for the speed and so on is small, can't you do the kind of, I mean, have people tried to do,
so they'll feel polarized. Right. Okay, so I'm not an experimentist, so I cannot do the neutron scattering experiment. Yeah, I hope that they will perform the neutron scattering experiment under the field. So then you can develop more concrete theory.
Okay.
So and so then, so I mentioned the Higgs transitions, actually, which I also, with collaborators, working on experiments on Zeeman titanate. So I published a Nature Communications paper on Higgs transition in Zeeman titanate. And so then, what is meant by the Higgs transition is the following. So for this, maybe people here are already well known, know well, but so this is a slide for the experiment. And as in the case of superconductivity, the Bose condensation that charged particle can be described as Higgs transitions, and at least at the ground state. And so that is actually fixed U1 phase and broken lead to a broken U1 gate structure. So then the non-Bose mode is absorbed. Plasmons in the case of superconductivity. So the similar thing can also happen in the magnets. So the both condensation of the monetary choice films could be possible in quantum spin ice. As I explain, I'll finish the question. So then another supermolecular junction in monetary monopoles could be possible here. So then Higgs mechanics theory actually ensures that the gap spin excitation gap. And although this is in a strict sense, this function should be defined at the ground state, but when the TC is quite low, as in the case of deuterium titanate, it should be described with again the Higgs transitions. But of course, it is similarly connected to the conventional transition with increasing TC. So what is observed in the deuterium titanate is the following. So this is a sample which shows a sharp peak as in the in a specific heat, as in the case of the observation in a block as well in early dates. So then lowering the temperature, the neutron scattering, polarized neutron scattering intensity at the 111 point has additional components from the Mount distance. And then and when we talk about the spin flipping ratio, that is defined as a intensity at the 111 point, non-spin flip to spin flip scattering. That is spin flip of the neutron spins, instant neutron spins. So then actually it shows hysteresis. And also at the lower temperature, down the 0.21 Kelvin, then the spin flipping ratio is actually merged to 1 unity. So that means that the fluid depolarization of the neutron spins. So that is usually observed when macroscopic fermionic domains are formed in a sample. So that means that this experiment shows that the materials become ferromagnetic below 0.2 Kelvin. And then the magnetic structure observed in the low temperature phase is actually consistent with the theoretical calculations which I have done, like this. So these arrows are actually magnetic moments for the ETPM reaction moments, and all the spin structures. And that is the coupling constants of the models are actually close to the results obtained by the Rossi et al. And actually which could perfectly fit the polarized neutron scattering profiles at the in the high temperature paramagnetic phase, and which shows pinch point singularities, remnant of the pinch point singularity. So basically our picture is the point. So starting from the classical spin ice here, this is a temperature, and this is a strength of the, for instance, the planar U1 symmetric coupling constants. So here we have, usually have a magnetic Coulomb liquid or the quantum U1 spin liquid. And here, actually, we have a ferromagnet. And we should have a finite temperature transition and to the ferromagnetic state. And as in the case of the, as observed in deuterium titanate. So as far as the TC is quite low compared with the gap in the spin excitations, so then that transition should have a gap of the Higgs transition, which is continuing from the temperature transition line. So basically, there is a kind of promising candidate to the observation of the Higgs transition in magnets. Okay, so since my time is up, so I just put a summary here. Thank you for attention.
Okay, questions?
So, in the first material that you showed, the quantum Hall effect and non-magnetic order, what was the evidence that you don't have order because of quantum fluctuations as opposed to sampling all configurations by thermal fluctuations?
What is the question? So what is the...
So the first material that you showed, the fire core that had anomalous quantum Hall effect without...
Not actually a compact Hall effect, but just a Hall effect.
Right, anomalous just Hall effect, right. So I think you had something that I couldn't see very well that you said,
Sorry?
if I understood correctly, you said that you don't have magnetic order because mm-hmm. you have quantum fluctuations of spins, but you're at finite temperature, right?
Yes.
So what's the argument that it's because of quantum fluctuations as opposed to just sampling all these configurations thermally?
I didn't do any calculations which proves the absence of the Monte Carlo. I just interpreted the experiment. And from experiments, there's no black heat or no anomalies, the specific heat or susceptibilities, and any thermodynamic quantities. And so there's but the broad peak in the specific heat, and the one indication is just onset of the sigma xy under the zero field. I mean, that is extrapolated value to the zero field. And so then we have a remnant Hall effect at the zero magnetic field. And clearly, magnetization is at least almost zero in the accuracy of the experiment, which is quite, high accuracy experiment because the temperature is quite low. So, it seems that if we have a time level symmetry breaking, then we should have a kind of some moment, some magnetic moment should appear. And that is true, but that cannot be a spin moment, but the orbital moment of the, for instance, iridium conduction axions. So I did calculate that, but the amount of the harmonic moments from the iridium conduction axions are quite small. So it seems that we can understand that from the time-lapse synthetic breaking or the Pasadena moments without the harmonic double ordering. So that's what we can say at the moment.
Okay, so we have to move on.